If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad that you're here this morning. And you need to do it again and mean it. I'm teasing. Well, we're continuing to talk about how we can grow spiritually in an exhausted and tired culture. I hope you're growing from this, and I hope not only is it's improving your prayer life, but as we continue to grow in this thing, it will draw you closer to God. Because the whole point of this is the beautiful promise in Jeremiah 29 that if you seek me, the Lord says, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. And God desires that we seek him. And how we do that is through prayer, through study, through various things that we've been talking about. Last week, we talked about the importance of praying for others, and we learned from Ezekiel and Moses that when God wants his will in heaven to be done on earth, what does he do? He looks for an intercessor. And I don't know about you, but the thought occurred to me this week, you know, praying for on behalf of another human being. I can't imagine a more greater expression of love that we can do for our brothers and sisters, amen, than to pray on their behalf. And we talked a little bit about all the great revivals have come simply because people started praying together. And we ended our time together last week praying for America, and I hope you've been encouraged by the sheet that you got last week on how we can pray individually for America. Today, does prayer change things? And specifically, why does God sometimes not answer prayer for healing? We're going to talk about healing today in a way that a lot of us haven't thought about. It's a very new thing, topic for myself. Next week, we want to talk about a fresh new way of reading God's Word. And I guarantee you, it will help you and inspire you to get into the text more. There's a way of reading text that will refresh you and challenge you too, that from a lot of us we haven't heard before. So let's begin today with prayer and ask God to join us today. Lord God, we invite your Holy Spirit today to teach us and to draw us to your heart today. We all struggle in this area of seeing our loved ones and where they're sick and we're wanting them to be healed. And I know, Lord, there's a bigger thing going on here. And we pray today that as we talk about what healing really means and what it's all about, Lord, that you will teach us. And Lord, remind us that today that our prayers do matter. And we're thankful that you listen to us and that you care about our needs. You care about what's going on in our lives. We just ask you today, Lord, to teach us, to draw us near, to transform us. And Lord, if we have misunderstandings about this, about prayer today, about healing, that you will correct, your Holy Spirit will help us see our need to correct some areas that we need to work on. We thank you, Lord, today that you are a God. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who heals. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, where do you begin when you start asking the question, does prayer change things? Well, you have to begin with the sovereignty of God. You have to begin with God's reign. And by the way, if you have an outline, every time you see a yellow word that's underlined, you should fill it in on your outline so you can keep up and follow along with us as we talk about this today. So it begins with sovereignty. It begins with God's reign over this universe. I love Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the world, the rulers of this world, to nothing. It's like God, the universe to God is like a two-man tent. It is a very simple thing to him. And to us, it's beyond measure. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your love and faithfulness, Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Sovereignty, in control. That is our God. I love how Tony Evans explains it. He says, God's sovereignty concerns his absolute rule and control over all of his creation. God rules absolutely over the affairs of mankind. Everything that happens comes about because he either directly causes it or consciously allows it. Nothing enters into history, could ever exist outside of history, that does not come under the complete control of Yahweh, our Lord and God. Amen? Powerful words. Very well said. But the good news, as we talk about this, is everything God does in his universe is filtered through the lens of love and compassion, grace and mercy. Everything God does is filtered through those things. So that's an important thing to bring yourself back and remind yourself of from time to time, that God is working in this, but everything he does is filtered through love. And so if God is not sovereign and in control, prayer is really pointless. If God is not in charge and not in control of all things, it's kind of pointless to pray. Love what Jennifer Kennedy Dean says. She says, prayer activates God's will. Prayer releases the power of God to accomplish the will of God in situations and in the lives of people. It's not that God can't intervene without prayer. It's that he won't. Now, that should make you really think. That passage in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. Prayer is a powerful thing. And what I'm trying to get you to see in your prayer life is your prayer life matters. And what you talk about with God matters. It releases and activates God's will on the earth. James says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, you read this verse, and it looks like, kind of like, well, you know, Elijah had this idea one day. Gee, I think I'll just, you know, ask God that we'll just have no rain, and that'll show old King Ahab who's the Lord and who's God. But in actuality, no, this was not his idea. God had told him in 1 Kings 17, I want you to go to Ahab and I want you to tell him for the next 3.5 years there will be no rain until it comes at your command. I find that very interesting that God gave him that privilege. So, God says it, Elijah prays it, and God performs it. Elijah's prayers release the will of God on earth. What kind of prayers are you praying? Is your prayers releasing God's will in Manchester, Tennessee? Is it releasing his will upon this earth? Because what you pray about is very important. What you pray about matters, and it matters to God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What he desires. Again, this goes back to sovereignty. God uses our prayers to accomplish his purposes, what he desires that will happen. Without our prayers, we miss out on God's best for our lives. You think about all the things that we could have had, we could have enjoyed, but we missed out because we didn't pray for it. I often wonder to myself, have I missed anything? Have I missed God's best for my life? That's, I think, an honest question to ask ourselves. God's will is not defined by one circumstance. Get this in your mind today. It's not defined by one thing that happens in your life. Each individual piece is a part of God's big plan. And he's always preparing us for the next level, always the next stage. And I hope that makes sense to you today. As you look at your life, as you piece together your life, you can see points where God has worked, where he has worked powerfully in your life, and you're thinking back to yourself, man, if he hadn't have done this in 1997, I don't know where I would be today. You look back on your life today, think about those events in your life where God has worked and how each piece is fitting together like a big puzzle. And it's like the Lord is saying, I see what is down the path, so because I love you, I'm going to prepare you for that. He sees what's ahead. He is in our future. He is the great I am. He is in your future, in the next 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. He knows what's going on. And he prepares us. And we always say, you know, where God closes one door, he opens up a window elsewhere. So when we become disappointed, when your life does not turn out the way that you think it should turn out, and you get all bummed out, and you get depressed, and you get angry at God, I want you to stop and ask yourself, and watch to see what God does next in your life, because usually that is a puzzle piece that he's putting in there. Because he says, you need to go through this in order to deal with this. And if you don't go through some stuff, you're not going to be prepared to deal with this. See, God desires character. He desires maturity. And trials are how we grow in our faith. Amen? That is the only way that we can grow. If everything's just a rose bed, we're not going to grow in our faith. But Peter says, I appreciate what Barry was reading this morning from 1 Peter 1. Trials are that thing that refines us as pure gold to test the genuineness of our faith. We know God's will through unceasing prayer. It's staying on your knees. It's seeking God through the difficult times. God is connecting all the dots. And in the end, you're going to go, oh, you're going to see the whys. But often here on earth, it's like we struggle with going, you know, what is going on? This is a puzzle piece I don't understand, Lord. And God is saying, just trust me. This is all part of the plan. Trust me. It's going to be okay. I'm here with you. Walk with me. Trust me. I love this prayer in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. We think too puny. We think too small. Because God wants to give us immeasurably more than we can ever. He's thinking outside the box. And do you really want to limit him so that you can have your own way? So that you can control your little world. And you're going to miss out on what God is trying to teach you through this thing. And he's saying, I got so much better plans for you if you would just trust me. I love what Henry Blackaby says. Great prayer. He says, oh God, if I ever give you a request and you have more to give me than I am asking, cancel my request. Amen. I like that prayer. That is the right attitude to have. Because we don't think big enough. We don't think big enough. Because God always gives the best if we leave the choice to him. We surrender and say, Lord, I want what you want. I surrender this thing to you. He will always give us his best. So does prayer change things? Yes, it changes things. Prayer releases the power of God to accomplish the will of God on earth, but it also changes us. It transforms you. You are not the same person after you've prayed. And let's talk about how prayer changes us. Just four quick things. It leads us to earnestly desire what God desires. I find it interesting when you're wrestling with something, you know, you're wrestling about a decision, and you sit there, you're praying about it, you're thinking, I'm going to go this way. I think it should turn out this way. And it's interesting how God starts to shift our will and starts to merge it with his. We want only what God wants, only what will bring him glory. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Prayer changes us because it strengthens our faith and our trust in God. Man, it helps you see God in such a huge way, in a different way maybe than you've seen him before. Thirdly, we learn that God is in control of history. Prayer helps you see that God is driving. Continue giving him the car keys every day because he is the one that's driving in history. And you can either fight him or you can join him. And this is the best one here. We become participants in God's stories. Not just spectators, participants in what he is doing in this world. So prayer does quite a number on us. Now, what about praying for healing? You know, why does God not answer sometimes? You know, and I know you've seen this paradox, and you see, you know, there's two people, and they have the same issue going on, and hundreds of people pray for this one person and these two people, and one is healed and the other dies. Why? Why does that happen? You know, why does God choose not to heal sometimes? Does it mean, you know, he's not powerful enough? Does it mean that, you know, God doesn't care about my life? You know, I find it amazing that somebody will sit there and pray over a football game and they win the game and go, yay, God. But then there's somebody over here that's really sick with cancer and God doesn't answer the prayer. Does God like football more than that guy? What is going on here? I love James 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I love at the top here, you've got three situations in life. You've got trouble, you've got happiness, and you've got sickness. And I want you to notice that in the midst of adversity, he calls us to sing. He calls us to sing. But when we're sick, he says, I want you to call, the Holy Spirit says, to call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them. Does this mean literally? Yes, it means it literally. Because when you anoint somebody in the Bible, you are setting that person apart for God. You are saying, Lord, I'm entrusting this person to you. And I trust the outcome of this person's sickness to you. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Now, that's not a blank check to say, you know, they're going to be healed every time. But it's saying, we're leaving the outcome to you, Lord. Healing belongs to you. And I find it interesting, he says, if they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Is sickness a sin? No. But I think sometimes sin can cause us to be sick. Smoking, you know, 4 or 5 packs of cigarettes a day is definitely going to cause me some problems when I get older. Drinking and partying, yeah, those are going to cause problems in my body. But I love this last verse in verse 16. He says, therefore, because of what I've just read here, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. The healing that happens when we start getting into each other's lives and what true fellowship happens when you and I are sharing our lives with each other. It's not having a meal on Wednesday night. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is when I get into your life and you get into my life. The early church was close because they were transparent, and we've lost that in the church today, the 21st century. We've lost the essence of being real and saying, you know, I ain't got it all together. I'm struggling. Would you pray for me? Next time somebody asks you how you're doing, tell them how you're feeling. If you're really feeling bad, tell him, I feel terrible, Derek. Tell him how you're feeling. I'm struggling. I got this on my mind. I got my child on my mind. I need your prayers. It's amazing what will happen when we start being transparent. Healing, spiritual healing happens because of that. So going to the elders basically is a way of saying, I submit to the authority God has given to them. And what I find I love about our eldership here is that they will pray over anyone, anywhere, anytime. If you want to go in the library, they will anoint you with oil. They will pray over you. They just did last Sunday with Connie. And I want to encourage you, if you have something that's really on your heart and you're really struggling, you don't want to make it public, I want you to go up to one of the elders today and say, you know, I'd like for you to pray over me. And if possible, if you want to anoint me with oil, yes, please do that. I think God honors our humility. I think He honors that when we do that. Does God heal in response to prayer? Absolutely. Does God always heal in response to prayer? Ultimately, yes, He does. And I'll show you why in just a minute. However, God will be the one to decide what form of healing will take place and by what method He will bring healing in response to prayer. That is very important to understand. Again, we're trusting the outcome to the Lord in all things. So what are some ways God heals in response to prayer? Well, God can heal miraculously. God can heal miraculously. There's two extremes here, though, that I think are worth mentioning. The one is the belief that no miracles happen today. The other is miracles only happen if you exhibit enough faith. Now, neither one of those are true, because miracles do happen today. Our God is not in a box somewhere and we can control Him how He responds. I have watched God, and you have seen it in your life too, where doctors were astounded. They could not believe this person was healed. There's no medical explanation for it. And we have to say with all of our hearts, Yahweh, Jehovah Rapha, is alive and well. So I'm telling you today, miracles are very real, and they happen today all the time. Secondly, God can bring healing through the natural healing processes of our bodies. God made our bodies beautiful and amazing. In Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord, David said. And it's amazing to me how your immune system has an amazing capability of fighting off infection constantly. It does it every day. Prayer releases that power of God to enhance and strengthen the immune system. I was sick last Sunday, if you didn't realize it. I wasn't feeling great. I was feeling awful. I already had strep and sinus and throat infections. And then I decided, let's get the flu too. Let's just get it all done in one spot. And I felt awful. I prayed earnestly, Lord, please empower me. And I pray this every Sunday, but especially last Sunday. And God answered prayer. It's amazing to me how He works. God may heal by means of medicine or doctors or nurses. You know, who creates the medicine? God creates medicine. If you ever been in Brazil, there's these interesting shops in Brazil where you can go in and they have all these different herbs and stuff from the jungles and from the Amazon and everything. And you go in there and you say, yeah, I've got a headache. I'm really struggling with some headaches. And the lady will give you some powder and some herbs. And she says, okay, put this in a drink and drink it. And you're like, well, this nasty stuff? Yeah, put it in there. And it's amazing to me how it works. And we think it's some witch doctor hocus-pocus stuff. No, it's God made these herbs, and we've known it for thousands of years that these herbs work and these oils work, and that's how God heals. Who gives knowledge, gifts, and abilities to doctors and nurses? We are blessed with many good doctors here. Glenn Davis, Linda Elrod, lots of wonderful nurses here. Sharon, many of you here are involved in the medical profession. That's a gift. God's given you that gift. And I believe with all my heart that God will use doctors and nurses and medicine to bring healing and when we pray and ask Him to. Fourthly, God may, in response to prayer, leave a chronic physical ailment. In other words, you get to keep what you're struggling with. And there's usually a reason behind it. It's usually a spiritual reason that God is working in this situation. I want you to understand something as we talk about this. Death and sickness, natural disasters, all those things, they're consequences of Adam and Eve's sin upon the human race. God doesn't cause these things. Natural disasters happen because you get this hot air and this cold air together and it creates a tornado. That's just the way it is. That's the law of nature. God left laws of nature in place. All right? Death and sickness, those things happen. We got infection, we've got disease. Those things happen. They're a result of sin upon the human race. But God doesn't cause it, but He can use it to benefit us spiritually and for His glory. He can use it. And I want you to understand that today. God didn't cause your cancer. God didn't cause your illness. God can use it to help you grow spiritually and for His glory. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, Paul says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of these revelations." What revelations, Paul? Paul's talking, he had a near-death experience. And in verse 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about how he's caught up to paradise. Paul had died, and he'd seen the glory. And God said, "You know, to keep you from becoming conceited about these revelations, a thorn was given me in my flesh." What was the thorn? I have no idea. It was obviously something that was in his body, in his flesh, that kept him. We can ask him when we see him what his thorn was. But it was a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Pride, God is guarding him against. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses." This sounds like a crazy man. What on earth is this guy talking about? "So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I'm content with weaknesses. I'm content with insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong." That does not come from anybody that doesn't understand struggle and trial in their life. And Paul understood it. I love these words, "My grace is sufficient." Do you have cancer? Do you have an illness? Are you wrestling with your God's grace is sufficient for you to carry you through this time? He says, "My power is made perfect in my weakness." God loves to use weak people because nobody can brag. Nobody can say, "Hey, look what I've done." Weak people say, "Look what God's done." I'm amazed at somebody that can rejoice in weaknesses and persecutions and hardships. There is a mature believer in Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada is one of the most amazing human beings I have ever encountered in my life. This lady just amazes me. She's on the radio every day at 8:28 on 88.9. When she was 17 years old, she grew up in a healthy home, Christian home. 1967, she was swimming and did not realize how shallow the water was. She dives in and she breaks her neck. And her brother was right there and saw what happened, and he pulled her out before she drowned. This left her a paraplegic for life. She can't feel anything from the head down. But this hasn't stopped this woman. If you could hear this lady speak, she's the most amazing speaker I've ever heard in my life. She said, "You know, the first 2 years I was in all this traction and I was angry with God and I was frustrated and I was, you know, why did you do this to me? I'm 17 years old and I got my whole life ahead of me and now I can't do anything." And one day she was right near a window and this little bird came to her window and she said, "You know, that's when God spoke to me and God said, if I care about that little bird, Johnny, I care about you. Be my voice. Don't let this infirmity hurt you. Let me work through it." And that's what started her ministry. She paints for a living. She's in ministry. She paints with, she has a brush in her teeth, just beautiful paintings. But the Christ-likeness this woman exhibits, you would never know this woman has been handicapped her whole life. And she has ministry, helps kids with the same thing. I mean, she's just an amazing lady. And she wrote these words, "How could it be anything less than a joy to serve the one who has given us all things for life and enrichment and enjoyment? What problems do you have? Look at this woman. What an encouragement to realize that God has reserved you and me for a special task in His great work. In His hands were not only useful, but priceless. The greatest good suffering can do for me is to increase my capacity for God."
Oh, wow. You want to talk about a woman glorifying God with her life? Man, son, she is going to be rewarded. Wow. That is amazing faith. That is amazing faith. Have you ever thought that perhaps we have a chronic sickness? To discover a more important truth in our lives, that God is enough. He's enough. Materialism doesn't fill your empty heart. Money doesn't fill it. Relationships, nothing fills it but God. And sometimes a chronic illness will get our attention to say, you know, all I have left is God, and all I need is God, because He is enough. Perhaps the weaknesses, our chronic illness, is a platform to show the world what authentic faith looks like. There is no greater message that you can preach to the world when you have a chronic illness. My friend Tim, I'm amazed at this man, the love for Christ, his love for Jesus, in spite of having multiple sclerosis. I love you, brother. You preach powerfully. Keep it up. We love you. And I'm admired to respect the people in this congregation who have cancer and are struggling with sickness, yet they continue to sing the songs, they continue to pray. That preaches to the world. Because they want to see what this Christ does in your life. Well, look at my illness. This is what Christ does in my life. It empowers me. It changes me. It strengthens me. Wow. We have some amazing preachers in this room. And may I remind you, what is more important than physical healing is forgiveness. Because in Mark chapter 2, one of the most beautiful, craziest stories, I always felt sorry for the guy that had the house and his roof got tore up. You know, they never talk about the guy whose house got all tore up. They just tore open their roof. I love they're so desperate to get to Jesus. I'm going to tear this guy's roof apart. And they bring the guy down to him. And what does Jesus say to him? Does he say, son, you're healed? No, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. To let you know, and I know, that forgiveness is more important than physical healing. That is the most important thing. That we need to remind ourselves of that constantly. Finally, as we talk about how God answers prayer in healing purposes, He may allow the disease to take its natural course and end in death. Can I remind you that Lazarus was brought back to life, but many years later, he still died. We can't escape that. We are going to die. And I know we selfishly want to be with our family. We want them to stay. We don't want to let them go. And that God understands that, okay? God's not... But they are. Everyone's going to die eventually. But ultimate healing for a follower of Jesus is death. It is not defeat. It is healing. Ultimate healing comes at death because we are set free for eternity. And that's for us, it's a temporary parting. It's just temporary, y'all. It's not forever. I want to share a story with you, a true story. Jess Moody is a minister in Owensboro, Kentucky, and his one of the members of the church there, his wife had found out she had terminal cancer. So this husband comes to Jeff and says, my wife has terminal cancer. It's spread all over her body. The doctors have told us she has weeks to live. Please come to the hospital and minister to my wife. So Jess, like all ministers, prayed all the way there in that car, asking God what to say. And when he got there, God gave him an unusual passage. 2 Peter 3:8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. We know that means God is not on any time schedule. But he read this verse to her, and this is what she said, word for word. The wife then said, good, because I've been doing the math. And I figure if 1,000 years is like a day, then 40 years is like 1 hour. I'll be leaving my husband and the children soon. He may live another 40 years, but that will be just like an hour to me in heaven. When he gets to heaven, I'll greet him and say, where have you been for an hour? What have you been doing? I've missed you. My children may live another 70 or 80 years, but that will be like 2 hours to me when they get to heaven. 2 hours. And I'll greet them and I'll say, how was school today? Mommy misses you when you've been gone a couple hours. I wonder how you are doing, because mommies don't like to be away from their children for a long period of time. I'm sorry, y'all. Jess Moody said, 2 weeks later, she went home to be with the Lord. And the last thing she said to her husband was, I love you. Take care of our children. I will see you in an hour. There is someone who understands how temporary this all is and how eternal we are as beings. God sees the entire picture of your life. He sees the entire picture of my life. Maybe taking them home was the best thing for them. Have you ever thought that your death may result in the conversion of hundreds of people, of the conversion of your family? Have you ever thought of it like that? God doesn't waste your death, by the way. He will bring good out of it. Was prayer answered? Yes, it was answered. Because they are healed eternally. Prayer is trusting the final outcome to the Lord. And I love this. I'm going to praise Him if I'm healed. I'm going to praise Him if I'm not healed. I'm going to give Him glory. That's the attitude we need to face. We need to ask God to help us have. Satan, you remember, challenged God about Job. He said he only worships you because he's blessed. If he gets sick, he's going to curse you. And here's the question that we all want to know, wrestle with. Will we trust God when we have absolutely no reason to? Without the blessings, when all is dark, when I can't see around the corner, that's when we discover what faith is. Amen? And Job teaches us powerfully what faith is. As we close today, read Revelation 21. And after this, we're going to have the elders would like for everyone today who is struggling with sickness, whether it's cancer, whether it's whatever you're struggling with, your illness, they want to pray for you. If you'd like to be anointed with oil, we can do it. They can do it in the library afterwards. You just come and tell them that. But they thought it would be nice if we could pray for everybody in this room today that is sick. And if you can't come forward, if you're not feeling well, and if you don't feel like walking, you know, just raise your hand here at the end, and we'll come to you, and we'll surround you today with prayer and with love. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who's seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Paul reminded us and said, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But for the Christian, it's victory. It's victory. So today, right now, Tommy is going to be singing a song, and if you'd like to come forward for prayer, if you're sick, and you just want to have one of the elders pray for you, and we'll be doing a collective prayer here at the end. Or if you just want to remain where you are, and we'll surround you with prayer.